This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma zidna ilma, wa la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana, wa hab lana min ladunka rahma, innaka antal wahhab. Allahumma aftah masamia qulubina li dhikrik. We praise and we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send the best of peace and blessings on His noble messenger, the seal of all prophets, our beloved Al-Habib, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his noble family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in useful knowledge and help us to act upon it and open our hearts to understanding his kalam and the message that has been sent to us. The topic for today, the ayats that we have which we are going to study today, together, is an assortment. They're not from one surah, which deal with da'wah, which deal with inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which, as you know, was the mission of the best of human beings, which is the Anbiya alayhimus salam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his generosity, when he created us, he took a covenant with us, an ahad, in the alami arwah, in the realm of the souls. When he created Adam alayhi salam, from his side Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the ruh, the arwah, for every human being that was going to be created. And he gathered them together in that realm, and he asked them a question. What was the question? Alastu bi rabbikum. Am I not your Lord? And our souls testified. They said, qalu bala shahidna, we bear witness. And this was instilled into our spiritual genome, our genetics, programmed in there, which is what we call the natural fitrah, that every child born, no matter where, inside has the program to recognize one Rabb, has the program to know between right and wrong, without being told, which is what we call the natural fitrah, that Allah sent us with that. So essentially, if we try and understand it in today's world, inside us, Allah has put all the apps for this. It's just a matter of opening the app. If you don't open the app, then it remains there, latent. Okay. Recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then corruption comes in, viruses come in, somebody makes them idol worshippers, somebody makes them three in one, whatever it is. But we are all born on a natural fitrah because that's how Allah created us. And we have the story of Iblis. And that was Allah's design. It didn't happen as a surprise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew this was going to happen because he was going to be the main challenge for us who have taken the oath. Am I not your Rabb? Okay. Now you will be tested for saying, yes, we take that. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, besides providing for us, he is Ar-Razzaq. And rizq is only not just food and drink. It's the air we breathe, it's the environment, social environment, the parents, the social needs, the psychological needs, and most importantly, the spiritual needs, the ruhani needs are also part of Allah's rizq. So Allah provided all of that. And how did he provide for that? That when people go astray, nations go astray, Allah would send, choose the best of human beings at that time, the Rasul of the time, to call them back to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Anbiya had this, they had a common message, calling to the Tawheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had a common concern in their heart, which is, I want to save people. You know, like a good doctor physically wants to do the best for their patients. I want to do the best, I want to save this. Now, these are people who are working at a higher level. I want to save these people from an eternal damnation of Jahannam. Whatever, wherever they are, my goal is to save them. That's why they used to feel this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is said, sometimes when you could feel the sound of a kettle boiling inside him, just from the concern of why people are not listening. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفٍ. In Surah Kahf, Allah said, will you destroy yourself because of the concern that they don't listen to this Quran? That's the concern. Whatever, am I doing enough to save mankind? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the final, so he encapsulated all of that concern of every Nabi that had come before. And the messages of all these Anbiya were finally given to him in one package, which is called Al-Islam. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa akmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa radditu lakum al-Islam deena. So just think of it this way, that the Anbiya were very special people chosen by Allah, but they were human beings. Every time human beings went astray, nations went astray, they would come. Sometimes Allah sent multiple Anbiya at one time, such as when? Two at a time. Yahya alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Zakariya alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam. And sometimes there were multiple sent to Bani Israel. They needed the most. And you know what they did to some of them? They killed them. Okay. This is the people we are dealing with today. Ancestors, that's what the ancestors were. This is what we get. Okay. So, what about, we know, Allah says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatam al-Nabiyyin. No more prophets are going to come. It's already been 1400 years. We don't know when the day of judgment is going to be up. Nations going to go astray between then and now? They've already gone astray. So what is the arrangement for rectification of human beings now? This job has been given to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final messenger, because there's no more Nabi that's going to come. I hope you hear this clearly. Whose job is it? Us. Don't say Ummah Rasul. It's my job. Okay. Don't make it third. You know, Ummah. This is very, very important to understand. Now, again, like with everything else, there are rules. There are requirements. There are principles. There are do's and don'ts. Otherwise, you give the surgical scalpel to somebody who doesn't know how to use it, what are they going to do? More harm than good. Therefore, like everything else in our deen, da'wah ilallah has to be learned to be able to do that. So that's briefly the introduction to where we are. So keeping that in mind, let's start with the first ayah, and I had just put it in this order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَفَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةِ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. This is from Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 36. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed, verily, بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. We have sent among every nation a Rasul. See, this is Allah's justice. He does not punish any nation. He does not destroy any nation till the message has been delivered to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have sent among every nation, kulli ummah, rasulan, saying what? An'abudullaha wajtanibu taghut. Worship Allah and leave aside taghut. Taghut is all forms of disbelief, distorted beliefs, false worship. Then he says, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَ اللَّهُ. And among those people who are given the message, there will be some whom Allah guides. Okay. And we know the story that most of the Anbiya were rejected. The majority always rejected. That's how it is. So it's not always good to be in the majority. It's always good to be in the minority. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَفَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الدَّلَالَةِ. And there are some upon whom misguidance came because that is what they deserved. It's not like Allah chooses randomly, okay, I'm going to make these go astray. It's what you bring to the table, how you receive the message. According to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces the results. So the same seed of the best mango is put in one ground and it blossoms. It gives you the best fruit. And the same seed is put in a barren ground and it dries up, nothing happens. So that's what happens. Okay. فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْدُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, travel in the earth and see what was the end of those who denied the messages. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to be tourists on this earth. But not tourists in our concept of tourism. Eat, drink, have a good time. Look at things. When you look at the pyramids, when you look at Taj Mahal, when you look at the ruins, what does it do to you? What do you learn? What happened to these people? Okay? The lessons from that. Not just selfies against it. Okay? Ponder, what was the might of this Pharaoh? And what is his end when you go to that museum? And you see this dried piece of whatever it is that Allah preserved for us. What is the end of those who denied the message? Okay. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made arrangements of guidance for every nation. And now in the current nations to come, what is the means of that guidance? Since no Rasul is going to come, we are the deputies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the next ayah from Surah Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira, wa da'iyan ila Allah bi'idnihi wa sirajan munira. Ya ayyuhan nabi. This is an intimate way of calling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Ibrahim, Ya Isa, Ya Musa, Ya Zakariya, Ya Nuh. Every prophet is called by their name. In the entire Quran, he never says, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ayyuhal Rasul, Ya Ayyuhal Nabi, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil, Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir. Calls him by a laqab because it's more honorable. So this is one the scholars have said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in ayat, but Allah never addresses him, Ya Muhammad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because it's more into, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadira. Indeed, we have sent you as a shahid, which means as a witness over all mankind. What does that mean? What does that mean? That everyone that's going to come who denied this message, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be called on the day of judgment. Did you convey, Allah already knows, did you convey the message to these people? Allah already knows the answer. So, Ya Allah, I conveyed the message. That's why at the Hajjatul Wida, what did he say? He said, Have I conveyed the message to you? قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةِ. They said, yes. وَدَّيْنَا الْأَمَانَةِ وَنَسَحْتَ الْأُمَّةِ وَجَاهَدْتَ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. He said, the people said. Then he said, Ya Allahumma shahad. Allah, you are the witness that they are witnessing that I have conveyed the message, I have completed the. So he will be called. Now, if somebody is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called as a witness against somebody or some nation, what's going to happen to that nation on the Day of Judgment? That's destruction. One day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to, I believe it's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, said, read the Quran to me. He said, Ya Rasulullah, how can I recite the Quran to you when the Quran was sent down to you? He said, no, I like to hear it. So he started reciting from Surah An-Nisa. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening to him till he came to this ayah, where the meaning of which is, and from every nation we will call a witness, because Nuh alayhi salam will be called as a witness again. And we will call you as a witness against these people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hasbun, stop. Means his heart couldn't take just that thought. And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I looked up and he was weeping. Weeping at the thought that I'll be called as a witness against my own people, which is the Quraysh and all those who rejected it. Okay. So Allah said, we've sent you as a shahid, wa mubashir, giving you glad tidings for people who obey, who accept the message, who work hard on applying that message in their lives, and bashara of glad tidings of Jannah and Allah's rida, his pleasure, and a beautiful life in this dunya and in the grave and in the yawm al-qiyamah and in the akhirah eternal. Wa nadhira. And if you reject, he is a warner. Okay. Allah uses both, you know, as they say in today's language, the carrot and the stick. For some, just giving the carrots is good. Bashara, Ya Allah, Jannah is whatever. You don't accept it, you want punishment, we will offer you punishment. Wada'iyan ilallah, now it comes to, and one who invites to Allah. Again, that's what we are talking about. One of the main functions, the main roles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is da'iyan ilallah bi'idhnihi, by the permission of Allah. Was-sirajan munira. What is the siraj? The sun, the example, the mithal is given of the sun that illuminates. Why is he called the sun? Why is the sun? Well, I can't say that. The comparison of the sun, because the sun is nothing comparison to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what does the sun do in our experience? The sun brings light. It dispels darkness. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dispels the spiritual darkness, which is the ultimate darkness. It warms people, it benefits people. That sun doesn't discriminate whether you're a believer, disbeliever, it benefits everybody. And it produces life. If there is no sunlight, all life will come to an end. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's coming is like that one that gives life, spiritual life to all. If somebody doesn't want to accept, that's a different thing. The lesson there is, I am the deputy of Sayyidina Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do I reflect some of that light in my life? People who encounter me, are they illuminated? Are they benefited? Do they get a clear message of Islam? Do I have that in me to want good for others? Otherwise, I am just his ummati and his deputy in name. So it puts the onus of responsibility on each one in their own circles. Okay. That bashara should first come to me. The bashara of obedience and iman. Iman, amal saleh, that bashara, I should want that. And I should be scared more than anybody else, more than the kuffar, more than Firaun, I should be scared that there is a Jahannam. There is a Jahannam. Now, the best of human beings after the Anbiya was who, according to our scholars? One person.
Sahaba.
Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. When he saw a bird sitting in the garden, he said, I wish I were like you. Because you have no fear of hisab. He said in another narration, I wish I was the hair on the body of a mu'min. In other words, he is who he is, and yet he is afraid of Jahannam. The second deputy, about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if there was going to be a Nabi after me, it would be who? Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, if on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everyone can go into Jannah except one person, I'd be afraid that one is going to be me. And then he said, and if on the day of judgment Allah says, everyone will go to Jahannam and there'll be one who can go to Jannah, I have hope it will be me. You have to have that. In other words, we don't have to be confident to the level that, okay, we are believers. Jannah is guaranteed. Inshallah it is. But let's work towards it. The next ayah is from Surah Ma'idah 67. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, last ayah said, Ya ayyuhan nabi. Here he said, Ya ayyuhan rasul. Balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbika. Wa in lam taf'al, fama ballaghta risalata. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. Inna Allah la yahdi al-qawm al-kafirin. Ya ayyuhan rasul. Oh my dear messenger. Balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbika. Convey. Tabligh, balligh. Convey the message, the risala that has come to you, unzila ilayka min rabbi, from your Rabb. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not that he was not going to do it, but this applies, just if you think of it, more for us. Wa in lam tafal, and if you don't do that, then you have fama ballaghta risalatahu, then you have not conveyed his message, Allah's message. Of course Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to do it. But what does it imply? Your followers may not do it, and if they don't, then they have not conveyed the message. They have left the message. Okay. That is like some of our scholars give the example in some of those movies, like, you know, Treasures of the Lost, this and that. There is a cave in which there is sort of unbelievable amount of treasures that people want to go. At the entrance of the cave, there is a snake sitting there who doesn't allow anybody to go in to benefit from what's in the cave, and himself doesn't benefit from it. So a person who takes the message, keeps it to themselves, doesn't allow it to be spread or shared, is like that. Not benefiting themselves, not letting anybody else benefit. So Allah said, if you do not, then you have not conveyed that message, you've not fulfilled that mission. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. And this is the ayah after which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed his guards. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to have, you know, there is a sutun there, near the resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to stand as a guard. And when this ayah came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no more guards for me. Because Allah says, Allah will protect you from nas. Nas means all mankind. Inna Allah la yahdi al-qawm al-kafirin. And again, it ends by saying, Allah doesn't guide the people who are kafir, who deny the message. Yet he is saying, Allah is saying in the beginning, convey the message. And then says, Allah doesn't. In other words, your job is to convey the message. Whether they accept or whether, that's up to them. So don't lose heart because they are not accepting it. Allah does not guide people who will not accept the message. So that's not Allah. In a way, it's a consolation that it's not your fault. You know, you're not missing out on something that people are not listening. Okay. So here's the next ayah. Surah An-Nahl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of what to convey. First, that was a general message, convey the message. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal ma'idati wal ma'idati al hasana wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan inna rabbaka huwa a'lamu biman dalla an sabili wa huwa a'lamu bil muhtadin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, udu'u, give da'wah. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika, to the path of your Lord. Sabil. Now there is no description of this path. It doesn't say call to Tawheed. It doesn't say call to Salah. It doesn't say call to good akhlaq, call to good dealings with each other, call to justice. Doesn't. Ila sabili rabbika, to the path of your Lord. That's it. So our beloved scholar Ali Hassan Nadawi from Lucknow, rahmatullah alayh, said about this ayah, he said the word sabil, of where it says sabil rabbika, encompasses everything. That's why Allah has not specified that, because that path is all of that, calling to tawheed, the correct iman, all the duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the interactions with people is all covered in this one word. This is the eloquence and elegance of the Quran. The path of your Lord, call to the sabil of your Lord. Then Allah qualifies sabil.
Sorry, is this ayat also addressed to the Prophet?
Yes. Okay. Tud'u is second person singular. It's a command. So second person, Allah's commanding, singular. That's Rasul. Again, it starts there, but then by it filters down to us, as it was not just for that time. The Quran is eternal. So now when I read it, this is a message for me. I have to do it. Okay. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika. Then Allah qualifies bil hikmah. Use wisdom. You know, that's very, very important. And we'll talk about what that wisdom. Wal maw'idatil hasana. And give beautiful maw'idah is preaching, make people understand. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And if you argue, if you use the jidal, argument or debate, do it in a beautiful way. Don't do it to win an argument. Don't do it to put somebody down. Allah says do it with beauty, with elegance, with wisdom, so that a person doesn't feel, you know, defeated. You know, we have sometimes, we have many recordings of debates between Muslim and... This is not about debates. It's about conveying the message. Okay? So, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Inna rabbaka huwa a'lamu biman dalla an sabili. And indeed, your Rabb knows one who has gone astray from an sabilihi, from his path. Wa huwa a'lamu bil muhtadin. And Allah knows the ones who are guided. And again, there is only two responses. Either you are guided, or you have gone astray. And somewhere close astray, but not as bad as astray, is one who is ghafil. I don't care. That's also gone astray because he's not benefiting from the message. Okay. So Allah says he is aware of what's going to happen. And then next ayah is from Surah Yusuf. We've covered it before, towards the end of Surah Yusuf. Again, Allah is commanding Rasulullah, because it starts with Qul. Everything that starts with Qul is a command to second person, male singular, which is Rasulullah. Qul, say to them, what? Hadihi sabili, this is my path. Sabil, Rabbika, same. Hadihi sabili, this is my path. Okay. What is my path? Ad'u ila Allahi. I invite to Allah. That is my path. Ad'u da'wah. I give da'wah ila Allah. Ala basiratin. With insight, with knowledge. I'm not just some random person, ignorant. What I don't know what I'm inviting to. Now there comes the ana, he's saying. Say you, Rasulullah. Wa manittaba'ani, and all those who do my ittiba, which is all you and me. Anybody who's Rasulullah says, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, is supposed to be in ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ta'a, which is obedience, ittiba is to following. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, manittaba'ani. Man is open, everyone, male, female, child, old, anyone. Taba'an, whoever does my ittiba, this is his path. And what is his path? He will invite to Allah. Ala basiratin, with wisdom, with foresight, with knowledge. Wa subhanallah, and glory be to Allah. Allah is glorified above all that they... Why do you need to invite? Because people add to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which they have no authority, such as adding partners to him. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa subhanallah, and Allah is glorified above all that they attribute and they worship and take as partners for him. Wa ma ana min al mushrikeen. And telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them that you are saying to them, I am not from the mushrikeen. I am muwahid. I am a person of tawheed. I am like my father Ibrahim. Okay? So, this is an ayah which clearly states for us that the messengership, the conveying of message, did not finish with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ana wa man ittabani, me and those who do my ittiba. Okay, is that clear? Next ayah, Surah Al-An'am. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي. The word sirat and sabil are similar. Okay. Some slight technical differences about size and this and that. Hada, this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, this is my path. Mustaqima, sirati mustaqima. Okay, straight path, as we say. Fattabi'uhu, do ittiba of this straight path. Means, walk on this straight path. It is not enough to know the straight path. And that's another level of accountability, where you can't even plead ignorance that I didn't know. Okay, if you know the straight path, you have to walk on it. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make promises for knowing. He makes all of his promises are for amal, for acting on that knowledge. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so again, surati is my path, mustaqim. This is again, it's a singular path. Sabil, singular. Plural would be subul, means there are multiple paths. Okay? So, fattabi'uhu, follow this path. Wala tattabi'u subul. Subul. Don't follow other paths. Okay? What is he telling you? There is only one correct path. And that is what we have to understand when we have some of these interfaith meetings. And today with the perennialism, everything goes, you know, we are all good. No, we are not all good. There is one truth. Okay, you're okay. You know, we are interfaith. You know, let everybody do their own thing. Yes, let everybody do their own thing. But don't say let everybody's got the same end. Because Allah says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ, which separate you عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ, from his path. Again, it started with Sirat, and the word sabil, sabilihi, his path has come in the same ayah. So Allah saying, if you follow other paths, it will take you away from that one path. Dhalikum wassakum, and this is what Allah has ordained for you. Wassakum bihi, la'allakum tattaqoon, so you may become people of taqwa, of God consciousness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sometimes give you visuals. Okay, not just words. So one day he took a stick and he drew a line in the sand. And then he drew some cross-hatched lines like this. Then he said, this is my path. Sirati mustaqim. This is my sabili. All of these paths, if you take any of these cross detours, at the end of every one, there is a shaitan. In other words, you have gone astray. Okay? And then he recited this ayah. So in other words, Allah has made only one path to him. Only one path. Never be confused about this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those who fulfill this duty of da'wah by praising them by saying, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah says, he asks a question. And whose word is better than one who calls towards Allah? In other words, nobody's word. The answer is, no one's word is better than the word of a da'i ila Allah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ. Who is more beautiful in their words than the one who calls ila Allah? And then he qualifies the qualities of this caller. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. He's not just a caller. He is implementing his call in his own actions. He is doing amal salih, which is walking on that path towards which he is calling. Okay. Amal salih. What is amal salih? What Allah loves and is pleased with, what he has ordered, what is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, done in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he did, with the intention of pleasing Allah only. That's amal salih. If it is done with another intention, it's not amal salih. If it is done contrary to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is not amal salih. That's called a bid'ah. Oh, I will do something more. Maghrib has three rak'ah. I want to do more. I'm going to do four. If you do four, you have gone astray. Okay, so don't use your logic to say, okay, more is better. Do what you're told to do. So Allah qualifies the best words are the of words of the da'i, and he sort of not just words, but he shows people by his actions that he is walking the path, that he is a practicing Muslim. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And then he is humble enough to say, I'm just an ordinary Muslim. He's not arrogant. Oh, I am giving da'wah. I am better than everybody else. قَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Because even there he is afraid. Even though he is doing good deeds, he is saying the best words, he's still afraid. I'm like an ordinary Muslim. Humility. Next is Surah Ali Imran. Now some people have said, is this da'wah what is called fard ayn, which means an obligation for everyone, like salah? Or is it a fard kifaya, which means as long as some people are doing it, it is sufficient? Okay. For example, salatul janaza is the fard what? Kifaya. Some people attended, it's sufficient. If nobody attended, then it's a sin for everybody. But if enough people attended it, it is sufficient for all. Salatul Fajr, is this Fard Kifaya or Fard Ayn? Fard Ayn. So everyone has that obligation. Even though the sun rises at 5:05, you have to get up before that. Even if you slept at 1 o'clock because you are watching whatever, you have to get up because it's Fard Ayn. So, our scholars have said, if you have the knowledge, and you're living in an environment where there aren't sufficient people to convey the message, or you're living in a time where there is a lot of evil, then it becomes fard ayn for everybody. But if you are in an environment where plenty of people are doing da'wah and the message is spreading, then it becomes a fard kifaya. And at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah in Surah Ali Imran, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ. Let there arise some people out of you. You know, Allah is not saying all of you. Some minkum, from you. يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, who invite, who do the work of da'wah towards khair. وَيَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, who enjoin good and who forbid evil. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, and these are people who are in a state of falah, they are successful. So Allah is mentioning the rewards of it. If these are people who are among the muflahun, I'd like to do it, even if it may be fard kifaya, because I want to be among the successful. But this is proof that in certain circumstances, it can be fard kifaya. It is not fard ain in all situations. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again honors the ummah. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, you are the best of nation. The Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who's giving this title? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we can say, good, I'm all set. No, it is conditional. What comes after? كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. Why? Because you have been taken out for mankind, for the benefit of mankind, not just by a label. What is your duty? What do you do? تَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, you enjoin what is good. And the ultimate of what is good is to call people to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to everything that Islam teaches, the Sharia of Islam, you know, to the ma'amlat of Islam, to the akhlaq of Islam, interpersonal relationship, how to bring up children, how to respect the elders, how to be guests, how to be hosts, like Ibrahim alayhi salam, business dealings, all aspects of it. Who call towards what's ma'aruf, watanhauna anil munkar, and they don't just look away if something wrong is being done. Oh, I have nothing to do with it, walk away. No. Your job is either to stop it with your hand or with your tongue, or at least if you don't have those, the least level of iman is to feel badly that this is wrong being done. You cannot be indifferent to wrong that is being done. Okay, such as what is happening today in Palestine. So, I can't do anything about it. You know, it's been a long time, I've burnt out. Let it continue. No. It doesn't end. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, you have to have that basic belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So belief, enjoining good, forbidding evil. If you have the belief, you are calling people to that belief. If you are doing good, you are calling people to that. If you are doing wrong, you first correct yourself, then you stop others. Because if I'm doing wrong, if I'm lying, then I can't tell you, you know, you shouldn't lie. If I'm cheating, I can't tell you, you can't cheat. So it comes from my own practice. Otherwise, my words are empty and I'm a hypocrite. And Allah will hold me accountable. لَمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, why do you say what you do not do? كَبَرَ مَقْتًا إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفَلُونَ. It is a great sin in the sight of Allah that you say something that you do not do. So one requirement for a believer is to be practicing. Okay? In all aspects, our deen is complete. It's not just salah. It's not just good conduct. It's not just correct business, every aspect. Then if we meet that criteria, if we have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, iman in the akhirah, iman in the angels, the 7 or 6 articles of pillars of Iman in the true sense, and it shows in our life, it shows in our amal, in our akhlaq, all of that, then, and we are calling people to the truth, and we are stopping evil, and we are calling to good, then we are khair ummah. That is the qualification. Okay. So it's not just, you know, I am born Muslim, I am in the ummah of khair. And we know, are people from this ummah going to go to hellfire? Yes, some people will go, but not permanently, because that is the blessing of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, no matter how evil. But who wants to go there for a, you know, period of time? So, kuntum khaira ummatin. This is something to reflect on. Allah has honored me to be part of this ummah. I was born in India. I could have been worshipping Ganeshas and whatever else that they have. What was so special about me that I was not idol worship among the majority? Allah's favor. Allah's favor. Purely Allah's favor. So, if Allah has done such a great favor of including me in the best of ummah, then that's a great risk. With every honor comes responsibility. We have to fulfill that responsibility. And then in the last two ayahs, I think that we have, that we chose for today, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, He's told us what to convey, what to invite to, what to stop, what not to stop, how to do it, methodology in a simple way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, and it is out of the mercy of Allah, لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, layin is gentle, that you were gentle with the people. In other words, the da'i has to be gentle. He's not aggressive. He's not insulting. He's not loud, and you know, because our job is conveying the message. Our job is not converting people. And that ayah will also, I think we have that also, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah is saying it is by the mercy, that this is again a manifestation of Allah's mercy, that He made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so gentle and caring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you have been gentle and lenient, and you dealt with them gently. Had you been faddan ghaleez al-qalb, if you had been severe or hard, harsh-hearted, because the environment that he came in, people were like that. He was the opposite. They were very tough people. I mean, just killing and this and that, and hard-hearted people. In that environment, Allah puts, you know, in among the rocks, He puts a flower. So if you had been like that, they would have certainly scattered away, run away from you and abandoned you. So what was so magnetic about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that everybody was his gentleness, his mannerism, his akhlaq. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they may be rough, they may do bad things, forgive them, forgive them. Imagine this is coming down after 12 years, this Surah Ali Imran, which was revealed in Medina. Revealed after the Battle of Uhud, after all the persecution, after Battle of Badr, after Battle of Uhud, assassination attempts, ridicule, killing, all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what does it teach us? Sometimes somebody says one harsh word and they are enemies for life. I will never forgive. I will not forgive till my last breath. And then we say, Wallahi! Yes, have you heard that? We've heard this in the masjid. Let it go. Forgive. We are human beings. We make mistakes. I make mistakes. I commit sins. I may violate your rights. Forgive. I may do it repeatedly. Forgive again. If Allah didn't forgive us, if Allah held us accountable, if Allah stuck to justice only, Allah says, in the Quran, He says, I would not leave a living creature on the earth. That would be Allah's justice. But, wa'afwan kathir, He said, and He forgives abundantly. Kathir. So what should we do? Wa'afwan kathir. Whoever wrongs you may feel bad. After you get over that emotional thing, forgive. Move on. And sometimes it's good to, if you think somebody is wrong and Allah makes them realize that, settle the account here. So look, I was having a bad day. I did wrong. My bad. Forgive me. That's it. That's all it takes. And be sincere about it. And the other person should also be more humble. Say, about time you asked for forgiveness. No. Say, don't worry about it, brother. I forgave you without you asking. Alhamdulillah, because we are brothers in Islam. Okay. Our deen is so beautiful if we knew and practice the teachings of this deen.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's just a point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people who forgive.
Yes.
He loves people.
Allah loves people. Allah is forgiving, loves people who forgive. One of the hadith says that those who forgive people, Allah will forgive them on the day of judgment. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another example of how to give da'wah. This ayah was addressed to Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. When they were being deputized to go to a man who said, I am God, Fir'aun, who is the epitome of the worst of creatures, Fir'aun. Now Allah sending them, Musa alayhi salam is already scared. Say, Ya Allah, my tongue is a little hesitant, I've got a little thing. And you know, I've already killed somebody, he's going to kill me. Harun is more eloquent than me. He said, no, you both go. But go how? وَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. The two of you, when you go, talk to him in a gentle way. Talk to who? Fir'aun? In a gentle way. قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. The most soft of speech. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Perhaps, and Allah already knows what the result is going to be, but it's for teaching us. Perhaps he might think, and he might become afraid of Allah. But Allah knows that's not going to happen because the end is already known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, it is a lesson for us that even when you are calling to people such as Fir'aun, you talk with them gently. Our akhlaq doesn't change regardless of who is across from us. Everybody can be gentle with somebody who is gentle. You're sitting in front of Dr. Masih. How can you not be gentle? Right? Now, somebody opposite is sitting, who's harsh and this and that. You still have to be gentle. Otherwise, there's no difference. So what is the responsibility? Is the clear deliverance of the message. We are not held accountable. Allah will not ask, why didn't so-and-so accept Islam at your hand? Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nur, قُلْ أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا حُمِّلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ وَإِنْ تُطِيئُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, again addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ, say to them, أَطِيُوا اللَّهَ, obey Allah, وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولِ, in other words, obey the messenger, me, obey me. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا, but if they turn away, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا حُمِّلْ, then their burden is with them. وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْ, and among you, those who are calling towards them, it's your responsibility is yours. If they turn away, that's their responsibility. For you is your responsibility. وَإِن تُطِعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا, and if you obey him, تَهْتَدُوا, you will be rightly guided. وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ, And it is not the responsibility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except balaghul mubin, balligh mubin, clear deliverance of the message. That's his only responsibility, whether you accept or whether you reject. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that our responsibility is balaghul mubin. It should not be a message that has been compromised. It should not be a message that is politically correct. We have a clear message. If you're calling to Tawheed, and you're calling a Christian or somebody, say, yeah, you are also people of Tawheed, you know. You may say three, but you know, we know you. No, be very clear. Okay, you cannot compromise the message. Give your message. You don't have to trash what they believe. Give your message, put it out there. Haqq and batil are clear from each other. And then the results of whether somebody will accept Islam or not is not in your hand. Why? Because Allah said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innaka la tahdi man ahbabta. Indeed you, innaka, you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, best of humankind sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you cannot guide whom you love. Abu Talib, whom you love, you cannot guide him. Imagine. Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta, whom you love so much. Walakin Allah yahdi man yash. Only Allah, but it is Allah who guides whom He wants. Wa huwa a'lamu bil muhtadin, and He is the one who knows those who are guided. So that's the last ayah that I wanted to cover. So we've given an overview of what da'wah is, the virtues of da'wah. As we said, Allah says, no one's words are better. The ummah that fulfills this is the best of ummah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that whoever guides somebody to goodness or to khair will get the reward of all the actions of that person. So suppose in your life, five people accepted Islam through you. On the Day of Judgment, when Allah gives you credit for, 20 Hajj, Ya Allah, I only went there once. Where are these? There is some, error in accountability. No. You remember so-and-so? He went for Hajj. And he gave Islam to his three children. They all did Hajj. So in that family, there were four Hajj. I've accounted giving you the equal reward. And so-and-so. So the people of Da'wah will come, because we can only do so many amal. But this is that pyramidal system, that you've got so many people doing things, they're working for you. They're your employees now. Every salah that they do, every zakat that they give, is also, Allah doesn't reduce any, because Allah has no shortage of in His treasure. He gives them the reward, He gives you equal reward, because Allah, and this is also from Allah, that He used you to guide them. So at the occasion of the Battle of Khaybar, where the Jewish tribes who had betrayed the pact with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of Khandaq in sixth year of Hijrah, they went and they sort of sought refuge in Khaybar, in the fort of Khaybar, which is about 160 miles north of Medina. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided that enough is enough. So the army went, and they were in this one. There were multiple fortresses, but this big one fortress. Most of them had collected in there, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was given, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there, go and assault and see. So 2 days he tried, he couldn't break down the fort, couldn't enter. Then in some narration it said that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was given the command, and he tried, he couldn't. Khaybar was very, very well fortified. Now you can go everywhere in Saudi Arabia, you can travel. So next time you go, take a trip to Khaybar, see the forts of Khaybar. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, tomorrow I'm going to give the flag to one in whose hand Allah will open Khaybar. Now everybody is hoping, I'm the one, everybody's waiting. So next morning comes, And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got this. He's ready to give the raya, the banner of Islam for the leader. And everybody's raising, you know, you can imagine raising, Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah, I'm here. Choose me, because this. Then he says, Aina Ali? Where is Ali? Ya Rasulullah, he is sick. He's got some problems with the eye. Sounds like conjunctivitis type of thing. But he can barely open his eyes. Call him. So he's brought in here. Can barely open. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his saliva, wipes over his eyes. And it says, the hadith, it was as if nothing had happened. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him the raya, the flag. Ali will conquer. Ali said, Ya Rasulullah, I will go and I will destroy this. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Be patient. When you face them, first invite them to Islam. Invite them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Invite them to Salah, to what it means to be a Muslim. And then in other words, don't be there to conquer. First invite them. And then he said, and if Allah guides one person through you, Ya Ali, it is better than you than all the red camels. Red camels were the prized possession of the Arabs. In other words, it's more valuable to you than any of the luxuries and things of this world. One person guidance. So that tells you how important that is. Virtues, and there are many other virtues. Fiqhi status, we've already talked about, you know, fardain, fard kifaya, different situation. The call of the da'wah that we are calling towards, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the objective. Convey this message that there is one God, there is one deen, and there is one path. We don't go into details. You can't have this, you don't do this, this is forbidden. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave instructions to Mu'adh bin Jabal, you are going to the people of the book when you are going to Yemen. Call them to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they accept that, then tell them Allah has made 5 salahs fard on you. If they accept that, then tell them that Allah has put a zakat for your wealthy people to take and to be distributed. Take it from them and give it to their poor. That's it. Nothing more. Don't drink. Don't do this. This happened towards the end of the Nabuwa. This is where we take all of the hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal being sent to the people of Yemen. So we call towards that. Don't get into, sometimes people, you know, when you're talking to people, they want to get into details of why the hijab, why this, why not pork. Try and, instead of arguing into that, especially they want to just bring it, try and bring them to this. I said, oh, that's a secondary issue. You know, why are women oppressed in Islam? My Lord is just, why would he allow, then bring him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So use your wisdom, don't get caught up in that. The most important is the characteristics and condition, the requirement of the da'i, the person who is calling. And that is your character. And again, just in the interest of time, whoever accepts this duty to convey the message, you know, it's very clear from the Quran and Sunnah that we should be true, living, breathing examples of Islam in our lives. That the person should see Islam. Because Allah has put such attraction in the true practice of Islam that is the best of da'wah, more than any other words that you can see. Then sometimes you have to say a few things, you say that. And that has to show in all of our private conduct, public transactions, dealings with Muslims and non-Muslims. You know, we don't take the position of some of the people of the book, that dealing with believers is one and dealing with the non-believers in a different way. No, we believe we deal with them justly in every way. So we must have that noble akhlaq that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You have to be truthful, you have to be trustworthy, you have to be generous, you have to be kind, you have to be merciful, you have to be caring. All of those beautiful akhlaq, noble, we should have in us as a caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it said, خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, that is what we should be, living examples of the Qur'an, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 2, da'wah will require sacrifice, but it requires, you know, time and effort and all of that, of your time, and you should never expect anything in return. Because this is what the Anbiya were told. وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The Anbiya used to tell the nations, they're going to, we don't want anything from you. We don't want recognition. We don't want compensation. Our ajr is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are doing this purely for your benefit. Knowledge, as we've already said, you have to have sound knowledge, because the ignorant person cannot invite to the right thing. And ala basiratin, we've already said, kindness and gentleness. It can't be harsh. We've talked about those ayats that Allah mentioned, even to Fir'aun. One time, a person came and he addressed one of the khalifas in a very harsh tone. And he said to him, you are not better than Musa, and I am not worse than Fir'aun. And when Allah sent Musa to Fir'aun, he asked him to talk gently. In other words, talk to me gently. Okay. So, mildness, gentleness, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that one deprived of gentleness is deprived of all good. And that whenever gentleness is added to anything, it makes it more beautiful. Wisdom and hikmah. Now, this is a big topic. This is a topic in itself. What is wisdom? Generally speaking, what to say, when to say, how much to say, when to stop. Reading the language, the body language, knowing the time, is this the right time? Now, you're walking with somebody in the middle of the mall, you're not going to talk about Azab al-Qabr in Jahannam. That's the wrong place, wrong time. Okay? So, proper place, proper time, and don't try and give the whole injection that was supposed to be given in 30 days, one day. I don't know if this guy, I'm going to catch him again, let me give him the full dose. Okay, no. This tawhid. How much, this is wisdom. Allah says, call with wisdom. And again, always assess benefit. If this person receptive or not, is this person, am I getting into an argument? Then I withdraw. If I'm finding hostility, this is not the time. Because I don't want to cause more harm. I don't want to say something and that person insults Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. So I stop before that. And sometimes you have to be careful, even with Muslims sometimes, the so-called different labels of Muslims. I have had to pause many times, sometimes with family members, because I know if I say something more, what's going to come out of their mouth is almost the level of kufr. And you don't want to push somebody to that point, especially if you know, because some people are impulsive. They get into this and they'll say something. For example, you talk about sunnah. Well, I don't care, it's a sunnah, I'm not, you know, it's not a fard. It's not kufr. You know? So you don't push people to that level. That's wisdom. Patience in the face of rejection, denial, ridicule, and also patience that, oh, I'm giving such beautiful dawah. Why isn't this person accepting Islam? Why isn't the shahada coming? That's not your job. Be patient. The person that we give shahada, I may give, sometimes they call me to give shahada in Ramadan to people who I've never seen. It's not no credit on mine. He may have dealt with many people who's, you know, this is going to go. I'm just the one who makes the person repeat it. That's all. You know, when the time is right, that shahada will come if it is written for them. As Allah says, if He chooses. And how do you expect somebody who's grown in one faith suddenly, that I've given 5 minutes of talk, that it should be a faith-changing experience for this person? That's what they grew up with. Give them time, be patient. How many times did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to Abu Jahl with the same message? Okay. Patience. In one ayah, Surah Ra'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether we show you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, part of what we have promised them or cause you to die, your duty is only to convey the message and on us is the reckoning. In other words, you may not even see the results of what you did. However, those results will come. Someone you talk to today, you die and you're gone. 5 years later, that person now thinks about it and accepts Islam. You were not shown the result. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not live to see Islam spread all beyond the Arabian Peninsula, beyond the Hijaz. Okay. And another quality, the ability to communicate effectively, the clear deliverance. It should be in a language that people understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَّمَا عَلَىٰ رَسُولَنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. You know, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانٍ قَوْمِ. Allah did not send messengers except in the language of the people, each people, so that they can understand. Eloquence is the simplest words that clearly deliver the message. We're not trying to impress people with big words and this and poetry and this. Clear, it's understood. That's what true eloquence is. The Prophet ﷺ was given as a blessing from Allah what's called Jawami'ul Kalim. Means in a few words he is to convey oceans of knowledge. So, and again, keep the objective foremost, clear conveyance verse of the message versus conversion or reversion. That is not our job. Okay, sometimes we are so enthusiastic. Say the kalima, you know, sometimes you push person, you know, he doesn't. I don't want to say it. And then, when say, I'm not going to say it, what have you done? You made that person say that I will not say it. You bring it to that point and you leave it. You've put the seeds, let the seed germinate. Can you imagine if we were, you know, gardeners, and we put the seed there, and then we're hammering on it, putting more water. Come on. The seed is going to germinate at its when it is written for it. Just remember that. So, individual, we take every opportunity that Allah gives. If you have the fikr for people around you, then Allah will give you the opportunity. And Allah will give you the lead-in, how to lead into something. So it's not like a hammer. Like, assalamu alaikum. Say, ashadu an la ilaha, there is only one God. You got to get to know the person. Let them talk, find out things, you know. Then only, at the right moment, and you're thinking in your mind, Ya Allah, find an opening for me to introduce blessings. One of the best way of blessing is to remind them, you know, we are so blessed. Now nobody can deny, we are so blessed. You know, God is so great. Now nobody can argue with that. Then you say, you know, look at the blessing of this day. Look at this. You know, we have to be grateful. Leave it at that. So, using wisdom to take every opportunity where there's an opportunity, and having concern for mankind. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the earliest revelations, Surah Muddathir and Muzzammil came in the early, we've read. Ya ayyuhal Muddathir, kum fa andir. Command, stand and warn them. Go and two people. Ya ayyuhal Muzzammil, kum illayla illa qaleela. Now at night you stand. So in the daytime his job was calling people to Allah. In the nighttime his job was, Ya Allah, your guidance, your mercy for this people. So you are trying to make connection between people and Allah. That's one. Now if somebody is sincerely calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trying to live that life, do you think Allah will not keep them on the straight path? Allah will not guide them? So this is one way of safeguarding your own deen. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true followers in the ittiba, in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who accept this responsibility as deputies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that when we meet him on the day of judgment, we can say, we can hold our heads up high. We are not seeing him like this. Say, Ya Rasulullah, I took your message to the best of my deficient abilities, and I did the best I could. And then you'll see the beautiful smile of Rasulullah and his approval. And with that, he will give you from the Kawthar. Here you drink, my ummati. Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us da'iyan ilallahi bi'idhnihi sirajan munira in the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. inshallah, we'll open it up for comments and questions and anything else. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.